We never thought about running a center. Well, I had my windsurfing gear here. Yeah. When there was wind that closed and the wind out windsurfing. Well, this is the not so romantic part.
Your center burned down.
This episode is sponsored by Foil Sessions, the foiling app that lets you track all your foiling sports. This episode is also supported by Surfears, but more on that later.
All right, welcome to episode number 68 of Up on Foil, the podcast where we talk all about foiling. Today, it is with Danny Reinhardt, and he's the head of the Hano Water Sports Center, and it's at my local lake, basically. And I've always been at the other side of the lake and looked over and knew that there was something, but I've never really visited you until last year when you had the lakeside opening, and we're going to talk all about the events later on. Thank you very much, Donnie, for coming on the show. Is there anything that you need to say right away so that we get to know your story?
Well, it's a long story to tell. But a nice one. I like it, so I'm full into it.
All right.
So that's it.
Very cool. We're going to talk about you specifically, but I also... Because when I look at my water sports background, I've been at surf centers a lot of times. And it looked beautiful and nice and cool people, chill, hangout. But there's so much more behind it. And we're going to get all into that. Also, if someone thinks about opening a center, something like that, somewhere in the world, maybe they can learn a little something from what you did. Maybe some mistakes you did that you wouldn't do again. Or just... like a good story. So let's get into it. And you just said before that this summer, you're going to have the 10-year anniversary of Hano. And first, maybe tell the listeners, what is Hano? And what do you like give water sports enthusiasts?
Well, Hano, where is Hano coming from? Hano means turtle in Hawaii. And you talked about the romantic. I spent a month in Hawaii for the honeymoon.
Yes, all right.
Honeymoon. Nice. And I was windsurfing. I'm windsurfing since a child. And I was windsurfing there every day. I came in as like, fuck, I nearly crashed into a Hano again. And every day was, it's impressive how many turtles are there. And my wife is, every day was, I couldn't see any. Because she was just getting into windsurfing at this time. She was more focused on how managing the gear. And one day I saw her, the gear somewhere downwind, and she was up there. I was like, what was wrong? So I went to her, and she was so happy. She saw a Hano. She's a turtle, and she went straight to swim with.
And she just left her windsurfing gear.
She just left the windsurfing gear. So about romantic, that's where the name is coming from.
Beautiful.
Couple years later, when it was going to building your own company, You're looking for a name which is short, which is something you believe in or something which you connected with. Yeah. And we were really, really short on this name back again.
Very nice. Very nice. How long ago was that?
That was 2010 when we got married.
All right. So 15 years ago. What was, you said you windsurfed since you were a kid. Was that here at Lake Thun or do you go to Murten? Where do you go to windsurf?
I'm growing up in close to Zurich. There is no wind on this lake.
That's true.
Not on Lake Zurich. It's a smaller lake close to Lake Pfäffikon. There is no wind. So basically, I learned and did windsurfing always in Italy, where my wife,
okay,
at 1 year. And she was hating me because all the time as a kid, you want to play together. If there was wind, there was windsurfing. So she had to wait at the beach for me. She was hoping there is no wind. And I was windsurfing all the time. And... So when I could pay my first bill with my own money I earned in my apprenticeship, I bought my first windsurfing board.
Nice.
And from there on, I was driving a car. I was all the time on water. I was spending all my money onto windsurfing stuff and windsurfing holiday.
What was your first board? Remember?
That was an F2. I was looking to pictures, on this time I was looking to picture that the board looks cool, not what can it do. Yeah. So I was failing quite a lot to get used to this gear, but it was looking cool. There was an F2 yellow board with the straps.
Axis.
With the
dragon.
The dragon on it.
Oh, that was great. And like the nose points
the
up.
The nose is fully pointing up. Yeah.
All right. Very cool.
And at this time it was an old board, but I could afford it with my first money. So
they were expensive.
Yeah, it was expensive.
What apprenticeship did you do? Like
flooring. I'm a parquet floorer.
Like a carpenter?
Yeah, carpenter.
Very nice. All right. So you know how to build stuff, which maybe comes in handy when we get into your surf center story.
Definitely, yes.
All right. When was the last time you actually windsurfed?
A couple of weeks ago in Mauritius.
Oh, nice. But on fin or on foil?
All on fin.
All right.
If nice. I can choose, I had 14 days of wind and I was 10 days on 4.047. And I always choose the windsurfing gear before the foil.
Nice. Well, if there is wind and the conditions are right, I still think the fin is amazing. But for me, it's been a while because last time I would have had the chance, I was in Fuerteventura like 2 years ago in fall, like September, October. There was no wind whatsoever. Even getting on foil was just barely. I managed to get like on foil for 2 hours. My dad, who windsurfs, he was able to get maybe 200 meters of planing.
Oh.
Not more during two weeks.
This is the pain in the
right
and windsurfing. Yes.
But if there's wind and if it's good, then yes, I agree. Windsurfing is still fun. But do you still have your gear, or do you use that from the surf center now?
I don't have gear. Well, I have 2-3 stand-up paddle boards left, which are really my own, and 1 windsurfing board. But all the rest is gear from the center. That's the luxury I have.
Yeah, that's perfect. Plus, you get new gear all the time. Let's maybe continue with your water sports upbringing. You said you windsurfed all the time, and then you started stand-up paddling, right? That was one of your core things.
You said it. Windsurfer, the pain is if there is not enough wind, you have to do something else. Mm-hmm. There was no foil at this moment, so I started stand-up paddling.
Yeah.
I slipped into getting a team rider, a Nash team rider in Switzerland. So nice. I did racing, stand-up racing. I was a promoter, all the racing stuff in Switzerland for Nash.
Yeah.
That was the Nash stand-up tour, basically. And Nash supported me, even that I could go some international races. If you tell someone I could race in Las Vegas, Nash, the Nash series, wow, that was some really cool
Very
stuff
nice.
We could do. And at one point I told Nash, Switzerland, we could do more out of this stand-up series if we open it. And he said, hey, that's a very good idea, but I can't afford it. Go for it. It's all yours. And that's when we started about Honu. So you start thinking about, okay, I'm going something to do official. How can I save my own? And what kind of company or club or whatever you're going to mm-hmm. do, what kind of form you're going to start
yeah.
to save yourself? And that was basically Honu get into it. So we never thought about running a center.
Yeah.
It was more to present stand-up paddling, not as a laying in somewhere on the sun, more integrating sports to present stand-up paddling as a sport and not as a playground.
Yeah, because when I looked at stand-up paddling, it was these inflatable boards, just a little, you know, like having a hike somewhere on the lake, basically. And now I've talked to Olivia Piana, I talked to James Casey, and I've learned about these super long, hard boards. And that's something completely different. If you say that you wanted to open
that's
it up.
That's actually the guys where we started together. I raced with James.
Oh, really?
In Australia, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay, we're gonna get into that.
Did you know that spending time in cold water and wind can cause your ears to slowly grow extra bone, sometimes enough to block them completely? It's called surfer's ear or exostosis, and it's part of your body's natural protective response. But ear problems aren't only about cold. Warm or polluted water can also lead to swimmer's ear, infection and inflammation, whether in pools, lakes, or the ocean. Surf Ears is the original patented earplug from Sweden. It's modular, customizable, and comfortable, designed to seal from water while keeping hearing and balance intact. Sustainably made and trusted by water people worldwide.
if you say opening up that stand up thing, what do you mean by that?
We started stand up paddling out of windsurfing, or myself out of windsurfing, because there was no wind.
Yeah.
And we were straight into waves, because I was always traveling where waves are.
Yeah.
And that was super fun. And really soon here in Switzerland, stand-up paddling got into what you know.
Yeah.
So there are these people are standing in the water in the middle of the lake, yeah, and do nothing.
Ruining pictures for everyone.
And yeah, when Instagram was growing up, like, oh, I have to do a picture and I do nothing on the lake. And for myself, coming from the waves, trying to get it here in Switzerland, the racing was the only part I was interested in.
Yeah.
And so we got the longboards, the racing parts. I did some other sports before, racing in other sports, and I was into this racing mode a little bit. So it was a good training for me as well.
Okay.
Be on water, get in shape to be prepared for windsurfing when there are big days.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Plus, it's a very, very good training. Like, it's a whole body training. It's not just like having big biceps or whatever, but it's very good training. All right. And then you raced with James Casey and all these lot. How was that? How was the scene? I can imagine it not being too big, like a bunch of crazy people.
Yeah, that's it. traveling with gear, it's so annoying.
Those longboards.
Windsurfing is okay. We have a couple of airlines, they take us. Up to 3 meter, but 4 meter 27, a 14-inch feet board, it's just, wow, it's a pain in the ass. That's why here in Europe, it's okay, you can drive, but to go somewhere else, it's just a pain in the ass, and the scene is really, really small.
Yeah. So when you went to Australia, for example, did you bring your own gear, or did you rent something from, or did Nash provide you with a board?
I was always provided by Nash.
Yeah.
I was lucky. I never had to really travel with gear. And I was also at the point when I could go international. I did a couple of races, but that was in Europe when I could drive.
Okay.
The international ones, that was more the fun part. I was already more into organizing stuff.
Okay.
And less fully racing. And there was the fun series, in Swiss German, I call them the Gummi Susi World Championship. So the inflatable world championship, that's where they send me to go to just have fun and support the Swiss team.
All right. All right.
And that was insane.
How good were you? Like, were you able to compete with like the top guys?
On my full race series in when Paris started, we were 150 guys. That was when Paris started. They went up to nearly 1,000 starters.
Wow.
That's one of the biggest races. And where we started was 150 people racing with all these names.
Yeah.
And that was somewhere around the top 20. And then it started growing up, exploding. And you got all these little kids coming around, and they are lighter than you. They are faster than you. So in the beginning, it was okay.
All right.
And as soon it was popping up everywhere.
Okay, crazy.
But it was good. It was, I did race before in other sports. And for me, it was a good fun part.
Was there the possibility to go from stand up into a more classic rowing sports, like heading for Olympics or something? Was that ever something that crossed your mind?
Not really, no.
No.
No. I followed all the, I was, on stand-up paddling, I followed the track quite hard and even supported it with the Verband.
Like the
federation stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Like with all the federation stuff. I'm into the federation. I'm just getting out of it now.
Okay.
But I started helping in all the federation stuff growing up, and I was on the canoe side.
Yeah.
Even I'm coming out of the surfing.
Yeah.
But it was the teaching to have all the regulations. Switzerland, kind of, I love it here. We have some regulations, and also we have too much regulations. And to be into this federation stuff, it helped me to keep the regulation a bit down.
Okay.
Or to support getting the regulations to a good way and not to get forbidden on all the lakes.
Yeah. Yeah, because maybe we're going to get into that later on when we talk about that surf center. That's sometimes a big problem, because when these subs started booming, there were subs everywhere. I mean, I don't know a household that doesn't at least have one somewhere lying around. And that was a crazy thing. I think we got ours maybe 7 years ago, like an inflatable one. And for like going out with the kids, just getting on the water with the kids, it's perfect. Doesn't take too much space.
It's the easiest and the cheapest way to go down a lake.
Yeah,
absolutely. But also it's a fast way to get somewhere into the nature reserve.
That's true. Highway into the nature reserve, which is not super good.
But now we're on that. Well, I've fighted quite a lot for stand-up paddling to have them not in the nature reserve and as well not getting the regulation. Now we're on the same point with the foiling, so I'm fighting on this line as well.
All right.
All my knowledge I could earn with the stand-up, I'm fighting on the other side as well.
Well, thank you very much for that already. The first time. Probably going to thank you later on a little more.
No.
You said you were a carpenter. When did you think, well, that's not the thing I want to do. I want to do something different. I think the law for water sports, like, made you change your career. Do you remember when first you thought about doing something like that? Do you think about doing something part-time? Or is like, we have to go all in for it to work?
Well, this is the not so romantic part. But at the end, it was lucky for me. I was forced into this way because I was pushing up this stand-up way on Honu. And on the same time, I was working as a carpenter full-time. And at one point, if you're working too much, it can happen that you completely disappear. So I completely broke down.
Okay.
It took me 5 years on taking medicaments to come back.
Okay, wow.
I was 3 months laying just down and have no idea about my life. I know nothing about these 3 months anymore.
Really?
And my wife supported me on this time. She took me out of the Swiss system because you have to, if you have no work, you have to
apply for jobs.
Yeah. I wasn't able to do this. So she took me completely out of the system. And at this moment, we realized we can afford our life. We can live our life with her job. She was working 80% and we can do it. And Honu was slowly, after a while, it was the game I could do for. So I could organize some races. I could organize some events and slowly growing up in a new business without having someone on my head pushing me all the time.
Yeah.
So basically Honu was my recovery base coming back into work.
Oh, wow.
And that took me 2 years. From 14, I had the breakdown till 16 to slowly recover with no pressure. We do nothing else than just some events and some basic stuff.
Yeah.
And in 16, we open up the center in the middle of the... And from then on, I was nearly able to do a full season of the job, but I always had breakdowns till 2 years ago.
How did that manifest? How did you like feel that, I'm going to have a breakdown again? Did you see it coming?
My stomach is telling me that.
Okay. So you feel sick?
I feel my stomach is just growing around. I feel sick. I don't feel good. Before the fully breakdown was there, we went to the doctor and we tried some different stuff. If I can't eat bread, if I can't eat milk.
Like the gluten thing.
We tried out everything. And at the end, the doctor said, hey, we have to take a worm pill.
Yeah.
So maybe you have worms in you.
Okay.
And I took it, and that was in December. And then I went to South Africa, 2 months of windsurfing again. So some time in my life, I was always spending between 2 and 5 months during the winter somewhere warm and windsurfing. So I went to South Africa, and I was like, I feel
better.
I feel better since years. That's awesome. And I went back to work in May. I called the doctor and said, I need one more of this pill. And said, okay, no, that's another problem. And in August, it was done. In August, it was the completely breakdown.
Oh, wow.
And now I feel it. It's still the same. My stomach, it comes and starts roaring.
Then you take a step back. And
then I have to take a step back. And my wife feels it even faster. She knows it before.
That's nice. That's super good to have someone around who like feels you and can also like help out. Wow. But then starting something new during that time, that's difficult as well.
But it was small. I mean, it was tiny.
What does that mean, tiny? An event here and there?
Yeah, that was like, we started with Monday night stand-up paddling.
Yeah.
So it was every 14 or days or every 3 weeks, I was having 12, 15 boards.
Yeah.
On a trailer. So I was texting, doing some Facebook page, and went paddling every 2 weeks with a group.
All right.
That was it.
Did you like provide the boards? Or people brought their own? Were they hard boards? How did that look?
All the same. Some boards were from us. We had around 12 to 15 boards on this trailer, and some people that came with their own boards.
Okay.
And we were groups up to 30, 40 people going out on a Monday night.
And you went here on the lake or wherever?
No, all the time? That was always here in Hünibach. Okay. I was living in Bern.
Yeah.
And Hünibach was just a place. We were looking all the time on Lake Thun. There's not much wind. On this time, windsurfing, there was no wind. Yeah. Windsurfing, we went always to Lake Morten.
Yeah.
But Lake Morten, you have already a good station. Mm-hmm. So there's not a place where you go. You're not going to play.
We're going to talk about politics later on.
I know him well. And I was a customer of him.
Yeah.
Now we are good friends. But you're not going to starting up some, even if it's a really small business, you're not starting this in front of another shop.
A lot of sense. All right, so you started here. All right, good, makes sense. I think I get that now. When did it start over at the other side of the lake? And that must have been a lot of luck as well that you get that spot. How did that happen?
15, we heard about this. There was a station before, and we heard that the city, the council, they quit the deal.
Yeah.
And
do you know why?
Well, they did more party than doing sports.
Okay.
They had some really good ideas, just the way how they did. The city wasn't really happy. And so we went to the city and they were saying, we are done. We want to have a green grass.
Yes.
People having just lying there in the sun. So we still made a concept going with schools.
Yep.
Teaching. Doing it the right way. Like I started pushing stand-up paddling into it.
Yeah.
And sent the concept to the city and they was like, okay, let's talk about. And we had to renew the concept quite hard so that we got a lot of things from the city we have to follow on it.
Like what?
Regulations. How it is in Switzerland, but at the end, I can understand them because before there was no regulation, they did everything, and then we got all these tons of regulation.
Like what, for example?
Even the opening hours after 8, we have to be quiet.
Oh, wow.
Okay. The season, it's just this. We had the same season as the swimming area on the site. We are not allowed to do except of the season.
Yeah.
The size, how big we are going.
Yeah.
And what we are able to do, we're just running courses and this kind of stuff.
All right. Okay.
And so we said, well, let's try it. On this time, I was able. I had time.
Yeah.
And so basically, we had to do all the working process to building up, all the regulations of building the harvesting. And that took us the 20th of July, we got the permit to build, and the 1st of August we open up the center. So we had 10 days of building time.
Wow.
And I said, I don't want to miss the whole season. I just want to do it. And we did all preparing, the carpenter stuff. We just all did pre-preparing.
Yeah.
And it was like a fixed house. We just come in, set
did
it
you
up.
Come with a container or how?
No, that was a pre-prepared parts we just could set up.
Okay.
And it was cool. I was seven weeks of season by myself. And when I was able to work and I was happy, the center was open. And on the weekend, my wife and my parents-in-law, they helped me.
But was that just stand-up?
That was only stand-up.
All right.
I had my windsurfing gear here. Yeah. And when there was wind, I closed and I went out windsurfing.
Very nice.
But at this time, it was just stand-up. And stand-up is still... Here in Switzerland, it was on this time the only way to open a center.
Yeah.
This brings you the cash.
Yeah.
At the end, you have to live somehow.
Yeah.
We were able to live from my wife's salary.
Yeah.
So I had my fun. I still have my fun over there. But we were able, if I earn money, that's okay. If I don't earn money.
Just don't lose too much. Don't lose too much.
It was a good therapy for myself in the beginning.
Very nice.
But stand-up is still the cash, not the fully cash cow anymore, but it's still, the money supports you to run a business like this.
For me, it's really hard to understand because, yes, maybe like for renting gear makes sense. Does one really need a class for stand-up paddle? Don't you just get on there and paddle a bit and you're going to be fine?
Normally, yes.
how did that work then? I just don't get it.
We have not that much anymore, but we had tons of courses doing the first lesson.
Really?
We have people, they can't barely stand on a paddleboard. And we went so many different ways. We have kids from, like my kids were below 1 year coming on the board. It's just a playing with them on the water to get used to the water.
Okay.
It's like the swimming school for small kids.
Yeah.
We do the same on stand-up. Up to old ages, so when they are retired.
Okay.
Then and the balancing stuff.
Yeah, makes sense.
They want someone with them. If they fall in, they can help them to get up. Okay. And this is one part as well. We're running, we call them the oldies. Twice a week, they're coming to paddle. This is a group between 10 to 25 people twice a week.
Okay, very nice.
And for them, it's the balance to just keep their body in shape instead of going to the physiotherapy or to go somewhere indoor training and be on the balance board. They do it in the nature.
Oh, and it's so much better than going to a gym. Wow.
And that's the point of stand-up paddling. You can do it for racing, you can do it just to play with the kids, or you can do it even in your old ages.
All right.
To just keep on your balance and keep training.
Okay. All right, good. I understand it now.
But it's not in the beginning that you know all this stuff.
Yeah.
In the beginning you think, oh cool, I'm gonna show it. Yeah. And then you said you do a lot of mistakes. But you learn good stuff as well.
If you look back and like stand-up was your first like main thing you did, how hard was it to get people to Hanu? How much ads did you have to do? Was it just like being next to that swimming area and people saw it and they were interested? How do you get people coming?
All about talking. We never paid any ads.
Oh really?
Never. Some of the paddling clients, they knew me from the days before.
Yeah.
So they came just to train with me.
Okay.
In the beginning, even we had some couple people from Germany that came to get the technique trainings with me. The place is incredible. It's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, you have so many people, they're just walking in. They said, wow, cool. Let's try it. Let's go for it.
Nice.
And we never paid any ads. We never did any advertising, nothing.
All right, good. Then I can imagine the start being a little bit slower, but still, there was some money to invest for the building, for like getting the boards and the wetsuits and everything. Did you have like supporters as well, or did you do that all by yourself?
Completely by ourselves. Till one step we did with money from supporters.
Yeah.
But in the beginning was when I earned some money, I straight pushed it back into it. So we started, I had this 12 to 15 boards before already. So I took them, I bought another 15 boards, and the calculation was with 30 boards in the beginning. So we had 30 boards.
Yeah.
And then you start working, and if you earn anything, you push it back in. And you push back in, and you know a company, you know there is 5 years of growing up.
Yeah.
And after 5 years, you should be able to live. That was just the burning stuff at 2022. If this wouldn't happen, that would work quite good with these 5 years growing up and be on a really cool level. That was quite working well without having money from somewhere else. Well, if I'm looking to my private money I put in, that's definitely yes.
Yeah. But, so all your savings went into Hanu?
Definitely.
That's a risk, man. You don't seem like too much of a risk taker. Are you though?
I don't know how I should a risk taker.
Or you were just like 100%. You knew that was gonna work.
You never knew something completely.
All right, maybe good hope then.
But if you believe in something,
and go you for have it. To do. And looking back, it really looks good. We're gonna come to that like thing burning later on. When you said you start with the subs, Do you already knew that yet? You're going to continue growing with other sports as well? And you just went step by step? Or do you think like, well, the subs, that's going to be it. That's going to be a whole thing.
No, you have to. We started slow and small because of the money.
Yeah.
We never wanted to have any cash from somewhere else. So we knew we're going to start slowly.
Yeah.
Our business way was working a lot with kids.
Yeah.
Because if kids are happy, they bring more kids.
Yeah.
And if kids want to do something, they go to their parents and go till the parents say, okay. So we have the parents as well.
Yeah.
And that was the marketing with it. So we went straight into kids' courses. We went having a cheap price for school classes.
Yeah.
And as well, the holiday fun part.
Yeah.
So kids could come on holiday and having some fun for cheap.
All right.
And in beginning, there was 9 kids. I remember 2000, in the first year, we had 9 kids doing this.
Yeah.
The year after, it was around 60 kids doing this.
Wow.
The year after, it was 180 kids. Oh. Up to now, to 500 to 600 kids we have regularly.
Yeah.
During 5 weeks.
Wow, that's cool. So that's this like is,
this is like
summer.
The business, how we do the advertising to bring people into our place.
Right.
And but you have to grow up small. But at the other side, you have to earn money. In the beginning, it was like kind of therapy for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start, okay, I need some help. You have to pay this help.
Yeah.
Then you start thinking, okay, how can I afford this help? How much work do I need to pay someone?
Yeah.
And as soon you're into the business, as soon you're, okay, we need to run more during the week.
Yeah.
The weekends are fully booked.
Yeah.
That's cool. We need more boards to run the high periods time.
High capacity,
so this 30 boards, they were all the time out.
Yeah.
On the weekends, at 11, you open at 10, at 11 o'clock, you have no more boards. 30 boards all the time out.
Yeah.
But during the week, they're lying there all the time.
Yeah.
So you start thinking about how can we do, what kind of stuff do we have to organize that we have people during the week, school classes, like the seniors, they have time, all this kind of stuff, because you have to pay for someone. And 2017 was already the first year we had some people helping us.
Oh, cool.
And at 2018, I had the first one working full-time job at the center. So you have to get enough work, enough money for it. And then you start thinking about, okay, stand-up is one point. I love windsurfing. I have some windsurfing gear. I had tons of windsurfing sales. So I only had to bring some entry boards to get windsurfing courses.
Yeah.
And then foiling was coming in.
Yeah.
We even tried kite surfing. The guy who was working, Ivan, he was here for 4 years. He was running a school in Croatia.
Yeah.
He's a ski teacher during the winter.
Oh.
So perfect.
Yeah.
We were pushing up 4 years together, and he was kite instructor, different places. So we tried kite. We never had, we bought kite stuff.
Okay.
We never had any lesson on kite.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's horrible here on the lake with this wind.
Yeah.
And then finally, foil. Really soon, foil was already coming in. First on windsurfing, but we were really early. 2017. Already, that was 2017. We had Kyle Lenny here in the shop because we were into a Nash Pro Center, and he was foiling already. I did winter foiling as well, so foiling was kind of already here.
Yeah.
We could feel it already in 17. And as soon we had the first prototypes of wing in the fingers, that was the first step. It was like, even he told me, came back from water and said, "This shit you can do by yourself. I don't do this shit." But we had a windsurfing board and a wing. That was it.
Okay.
And as soon we had a wing board, a proper wing board, it was cool to do.
Yeah.
Before with the windsurf board, it was just horrible. It was like, now why we do this?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I remember when I first went winging, they sent me out on a windsurfing board. I only have 2 hours. Then I have to go back to the family. I need to have a board with a foil now. So I was at Lake Silblana, and there's this little bay at the Sills part. And I went there and back. I said, all right, I did it. Now give me a foil. Yeah, but it's expensive and we don't want you to break. He's like, come on, I rented this stuff. I need
it
now.
And you could do it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I went out. I didn't chive. Like the jibes, I didn't start, but I went over and foiled immediately. And I told everyone, look, it's super easy. You have to try it. And then I started to struggle. And I'm like, Right. Maybe it's not that easy. Nah. It's just, I was lucky. I don't. Anyway. So
oh, nice.
We're all into like the evolution of your center, of the gear as well. I was just, before I wanted to know, when the city gave you permission to use that spot, how long, is that always a season they give you, or was it over 5-10 years that they give you the permission to use that spot?
Beginning, it was a 4-year.
Yeah.
A 4-year permit. They were planning, at this place, they were planning to build a small restaurant for the winter time. Yeah. They already told us that there is, in 2020, they're thinking about to build something. And we were, okay, let's try. It's a good project for my hill, so why not? Okay. And 2018, we had to send them our numbers, what we do.
Yeah. So
2018, after we sent them how many kids we had on water, right, they were having a call with us, and they said, hey, we're canceling our project.
Oh, nice.
What you do, it looks insane. It's really cool. The place changed from this party place into a cool summer, like the romantic surf center place. They were happy, and they were extending on 2025. So the deal was still 25, yes.
Good. That's some validation for you. Huh? How did that feel?
That was so cool, because you could bring plans. If normally, you know, that if the city is something planning, they use a lot of time till they get it.
Yeah.
And they changed a process completely just because we had a good idea.
Oh, that was so cool. Nice.
No, that was cool.
Beautiful. Oh. So then they said, no, you can stay there. And they gave you another 5 years. How did that change your whole business model when you knew, all right, it's not going to be over and we can like do even more with it? And now you have a lot of things where you can talk about that as well. How did that change? You knew, all right, we have some people that we can employ, we have to employ. And, but we want to grow. Did you want to grow even? Or were you like, no, it's fine the way it is. I don't want to overwork myself again.
At one point I told it, you have employers and you start paying them.
Yeah.
You have more requests. So you get more employers. And it was on this point, we didn't really want to push it.
Yeah.
It was just running. The push was coming by himself.
Okay.
But you have to, if there is a request of so many people and you see how much pleasure they have on water and on land, why you shouldn't try to give everyone the best time on life or best time of the day. So we just try to keep following this request.
Okay.
And after a while, you have so many employees, that you start thinking about, okay, the problem is we have to get employers, we have to get people working who we kind of, we have to pay them the full life. So it's not that they
just summer part, season.
It's not only summer season, and you can't really find a lot of people that working like a ski teacher and coming for summer and they have the whole knowledge. Stand up paddling, it's really easy. I can if someone asking me to work at my place and he said, what kind of schools would I have to bring with me?
Yeah.
I said, nothing. I can teach you everything. And we start with stand-up paddling. After 4 hours on water, you know how to teach someone else. That's it.
Okay. That's different with wind sports, though.
And now we're on a completely other point. Yeah. As soon we started, okay, we have windsurfing. We have... 2018, we started with foiling behind the boat already. We had people teaching how to drive a boat, how to everything. So you think about, okay, I need someone with skills, but people with skills cost me.
Yeah,
if they cost me, I have to extend. And then the business, I would say 2018, the business really started when we had the deal. 2025. Yeah. So you know you're going to extend. You know you're not earning money at the moment.
Yeah.
At this time, I could barely pay my salary.
Yeah.
I paid the guys who worked,
but
nothing to myself.
Okay, wow.
And then on this time, you think, okay, I'm going to pay all these guys. They have skills, but I don't pay myself. Now we have to think about a little bit different.
Yeah.
What can we change that we have a usual workplace here? And then you start thinking, well,
And then
professional.
You just were probably in your office and you were just like doing administration and people went going to work, or did you always go on the water yourself? Maybe also just when there was no one around, or how did that like change your work and did you enjoy that change?
I'm a really lucky man. I hate administration work and my wife comes from it.
All right.
So she was running more into this business as well.
Okay.
And I still do administration work now. Yeah. In winter, I'm full into this.
Yeah.
I take everything over, or nearly everything on my side.
Yeah.
And running this part. But she was mostly doing the administration.
Okay.
Part. And I could enjoy the beach life and pay attention on the workers going for schools, going for teaching.
Yeah.
And go teach by myself as well.
All right.
That's good. What I love mostly, be on the water and teach, bring people to smile when, like you,
it works.
Yeah. I love to see this feeling when people realize it flies. It's so cool.
That is the best moment.
And I'm the luckiest. I can go out and have people do the administration in the background.
Yeah. Very good. But still, like, getting a team together.
That was hard because you have nothing. You have to bring everything on paper by yourself.
Yeah. How big is your team now?
30 people.
30 people. 100% employment, or like part here, part there?
We have around 700 to 800%. We are
okay
over this 6 months.
Yeah.
And there are three people. Yes, three people are full time.
Not including you.
Not including me.
All right.
Three people are full-time on side of me, and the rest is all part-time workers. They have a regular normal job.
Yeah.
I'm coming as a part-time
worker. For summer or for weekends or both?
Everything. Right. Even for 2 hours, it depends of what kind of job we have.
How hard is it to find good people? Because if I listen around to other like friends who have their own company, they say it's the most difficult part, getting good people. How is it like in the water sport area?
It's super hard. Because if you find someone, I not only want to have people who can do the job, they have the skills. I want to have people, they feel it. So mostly what I'm looking for is people, they feel the sport and then they really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And the skills, most of them I'm taking in and prepare them to get them the skills.
Yeah.
Also in teaching, in coaching, especially on wing foil now at the moment, foiling, I run a little bit different way, how we coach, how we teach. And if someone is coming who has the VDVS, everything, the international parts, I even don't care about this stuff because they're working different than I do.
Yeah.
We're coaching different.
Yeah.
So I prefer more people having fun, enjoying, and have a really cool feeling. And I get them into how you teach now, how you bring your passion to someone else.
So you bring your passion, then you show them how to like channel that passion into teaching, right? Okay.
But that means I have to spend, that's what I did the last 2-3 years. How can I bring something on paper they understand? So like a technique.
Yeah.
How can I have a teaching technique, bring it to someone else, they understand it.
Yeah.
They have to feel it, and then they have to think about how can I give this to someone else. And this takes you quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I build my own team
by
them. I don't take someone who brings the skills. I build them.
All right. Makes sense. So you can kind of like form them the way you want it, the way you teach.
But it took me now 2 or 3 years in wing foiling.
Yeah.
And we started foiling on 18.
Yeah.
And now the last 3 years, I was just doing basically this, getting the teaching technique into my team.
All right. And then, because I imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I imagine like teachers at a surf center are usually like kids or little like young adults who are maybe in a gymnasium, like high school or stuff like that. They're not 30 plus years. So they might come for 2-3 seasons maybe and then leave. But that's when they would be ready.
Yep.
How do you keep them? Or is that not a problem with at home?
No, this is a problem as well. And this makes the big deal. So we have clients on the full size of the age, and we have people working in the full size of the age. We have a kids program on site. They're coming to us, have kids trainings every night. in all different sports.
Yeah.
And when they are 12 and they're into this kids training, they are able to start working during the holiday.
Yeah.
So they don't have to afford the season pass. They can go for a week work and they got the season pass paid. All
right. Okay. Yeah.
And if they want to do this, I bring them into teaching. So I already start how you can bring someone that your passion.
Right, yeah.
So we start working with them with 12.
Yeah.
And now I have the first ones. They are 18 or 19. They started as a small. Okay. So I have kids teaching with 16, 17, 18 years old. They're teaching already other people in wing foiling.
Yeah.
And they're way better teachers than someone coming with any paper from another school.
Yeah.
They went growing up now the last 5-6 years
yeah.
on our place. They are fully passionate and they know the whole everything.
They know your mentality as well because they were taught by this basically.
So this is the young parts.
Yeah.
Then I have, like you said, the students. We have two students. One is working full part. She stopped studying. She did a practicum on our side, on our shop. And she was like, it's insane. It's cool. She was full into it. And when she finished study, she was her last year.
Yeah.
So she finished study and started working on our place during the winter. Now she's traveling, but it's a cool age.
Nice. Yeah.
You do some work.
Yeah.
Looking for money and then you go traveling.
That's perfect.
That's the age. Yeah. But we know this is 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
That's it. And then we have even, you may know him or went already pump foiling with him. People who are always time are the seniors. So he's a senior. He's teaching wing foiling. He was one of our first clients we towed behind the boat.
He was on the boat with us. Yeah.
He's insane. It takes me sometimes a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Till we have the same level of ideas.
Yeah.
But it's a good conversation because he thinks different.
Yeah.
I'm thinking my age.
Yeah.
He thinks his age.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we have the young kids, they're coming in their age.
Mm-hmm.
And this all together brings a really cool line of we help each other how we think about how can we teach someone better.
All right. Very nice.
Faster. In all different ages.
Yeah.
And he has time as well. But he loves traveling. Sometimes he's traveling.
Which is also good for you. they need to, they don't, like now, they don't need to be over at home all the time. All right. That's super cool. All right. So we talked about the people and how you started. But now you still have the subs. You still like rent out kayaks. Is that still a thing?
Yeah. We rent kayaks. Not much, but yeah.
Then we have the winging, no kiting. And then you have the wake boat. And I want to talk about that because we were out maybe 2-3 years ago. Oh, yeah, I still have the wetsuit here.
Yep.
So I need to forget that. And it's a special wake boat. Can you tell the audience about that? Because I think it's spectacular.
That was basically when we talk about risk, that was high risk.
Yeah.
That was the first time we took a lot of money in from outside.
Okay. Yeah.
And as well from the bank.
Yeah.
So we were three different parties who paid quite a big amount into Hono to afford to deal with the bank who paid the rest of the boat. And for us, it was just, we were already in a really good size of the company. We were 20 people and it was still not enough to pay the full amount of salary.
Yeah.
So we were looking to extend, and on this time we were really focusing how can we extend and getting more money to pay all the salary and being now a real good company. And we were looking for other places. Where can we grow up bigger? Yeah. Because the place was limited with the old building. So we were having a look in Lucerne, different parts. Where can we grow up? Do we a second center? Are we going to into a completely different business? So we were looking to swimming places. Can we do like a combination of we're running a swimming place with a small restaurant and the water sports center?
Yeah.
So what kind of business are around we can do win each other and run a bigger business to pay all salaries? My wife still don't have a salary.
Right.
And at the end, it was like, okay, now if there is a peak of the season, if you have a good, nice day, we need even more people.
Yeah, okay.
And that was, okay, no more places, not more employers. But boat, we can maybe have someone running a boat, teaching, or being in the center. so we can have a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. And so that was running the wake surfing business. And there are only one, at this point, there was one bigger known player on the lake and one smaller one. And I said, okay, and they're at the other side of the lake. Why not trying it here in Thun? There's no one here. But to have a gas boat, it was just not, it's a pain in the ass. You're going for 300 to 400 liter of gas every day. It's not my style.
Yeah.
And then the electric boat showed up, the first Seri boat. And we start talking to them, and somehow we could manage to afford it. It took us a while. Crazy. So yeah, we're running full electric wake surf wakeboarding boat.
That's crazy. Where did you see that? Did you say that on a fair on the internet? Is that something very special? Are you the only one in Switzerland?
At the moment, there is only this boat in Switzerland, and still the only worldwide who works commercially. All the rest are private boats for rich people.
Do you want to share how much it cost, or is that just?
You can look it at the internet, so I can tell you as well.
All right.
It's $302,000. It's the boat. Wow. And at Swiss franc, it was 350. On this time, it was barely $360,000. And the changing was $302,000 we had to pay.
Okay.
Wow. And then you have the boat.
Yeah.
And with the boat, we had kind of a deal already. We knew we can go for it with the bank. But the problem is, if you have the boat, you need the charging station as well.
True.
And this made it that we couldn't run it in the first season. We were talking to sponsors, helping.
Yeah.
So we were kind of sponsoring deals, looking for. And the first company was good, was big. And at the end, the paper we had with the company was like, we give nearly whole Honu into this big company. Wow. So they buy us.
They own you.
They own us.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And I said, no, we're not going to do this. This is our baby.
Yeah.
So we canceled and we said, okay, let's cancel the whole thing.
Yeah.
And we started one year later. We could find a cool partner with GoFast who support us. They built up the charging station at the harbor.
At what cost, though?
Yeah, if you pay if you're looking to full amount of work with ground, table, everything, you're going nearly up to 100,000 again. And this is why the boat is for rich people just a fun toy. No one wants to pay for this. There are no charging stations. And if you don't have a charging station, you go out once a day.
Okay, so you need to charge fast, huh?
It's cool for a private.
Yeah.
You go out, you have your fun, you're out there 2-3 hours, and you're back home.
Yeah.
But professional-wise, we have to go out a couple of times a day. We are out 4 times a day.
That's impressive. But GoFast built that charging station. What do they want in return? Free wake foiling for life?
They were cool. I would go for it. Now we pay quite a high amount of the energy.
Okay. The kilowatt is more expensive.
Yeah, the kilowatt is more expensive. But I said, hey, If we don't have this charging station, we can't run the business.
Yeah, that's true.
And if I have to charge the boat, I could sell before the hours of the boat.
Yeah.
So this makes my price.
Mm-hmm.
That was the deal.
All right. That is super cool. I feel a little less bad, like, foiling behind such a boat. I still think, like, the effort, having a boat that runs only for me, I don't feel good about that. It's just not in a good balance. That's why I love wake theming, because it's there already and you just use whatever is there. But if it's electric, it's a little better. It feels a little better.
But the funny part, I mean, we had such a cool time. Normally, when a surfer, we have one guy in the back of the boat. On a foil, if they're, well, you have to know that they can start on the foil boards. But if they can start, it doesn't matter if you are 2, 3, 4 people. All of them can have fun on the same time. We have plenty of waves behind the boat. Yeah. And that's cool.
That is true. Plus, if you like have people start and they foil the waves, maybe they can go onto like a ferry boat.
Yep.
You start the next ones and you can have as many as you want. I want to talk about like the events, also the events that are coming up. But still, there's one part that you addressed quickly. I don't remember which year it was, but it burned down. Your center burned down. What happened there, and how did that like affect everything? Do you think about like, well, that's been it and we're just going to do something else? Or is like, oh, that happens, you have some insurance and we're going to continue? How was that for you?
That was 2022. Luckily, it was end of season. No one there. I knew the place. We have this small little island in front of our center, which is well known for parties. And during the season with the musical on side of it, it's quiet. Mm-hmm. It's mostly, it's okay. They have the security there. You have to be silent during the music and everything. So it's still fine. But when they stop, we know beginning of the season, end of the season, there are some parties over there.
Yeah.
And a big mistake was how we built the center. It was two tiny houses with a shadow in the middle.
Yeah.
And as well, the house on side for the toilets, they had some shadow as well.
Yeah.
Some roof where you can sit under it. And this was a place we knew it isn't really good. So if there was rain, people were sitting next to our center and following the party when they start the rain. So they quit the party on the island, come to our center. So they're always around there.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, and one day they managed to burn it down.
That's crazy. How did you learn about it? I mean, I guess that the firemen came and like started putting out the fire, but then were you informed? And it was off season, so
we were in holidays.
Switzerland. Yeah,
no,
right.
We were in holiday, and in the morning it was taking out the electric boat. One of our apprenticeships was there to get the electric boat.
Yeah.
And in the morning when she was coming, it was done. But there were still police were there, the firemen were there. And she was just walking into the side of the water. Okay. And we got straight cold in the morning. It was like,
where were you?
In Sardinia. Oof. We just arrived in Sardinia.
Oh, no.
2 days up there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And so we were okay. Okay, straight go back home. And everyone, even the police we had on the call said, hey, stop. You can't do anything.
Yeah.
Be there where you are, get relaxed, don't sit in the car, you're not able to drive a car, so be there.
Okay, get good. That's
get
good.
Folks. So that was mainly also the police who said, hey, don't come back now, you can't do anything.
That's good.
Stop
that's
driving,
good advice,
you're not able to drive at the moment. And that was a good idea. And they said, hey, get focused, get a plan, book your ferry, and then come.
Okay.
And that took us to relax a little bit, trying to be there for our daughter, because she could feel it as well, that we weren't really able to be happy again. So we tried to focus in the morning. We had already a talking in the first day with insurance, who said, hey, I need a list, what is everything inside. That was one of the biggest lesson and advice for everyone who wants to have a center like this. Be a little bit Swissness. Be more consequent on every screw you write down.
It adds up, huh?
Write down every screw. This was a big, big mistake of us. I love testing material.
Yeah.
We had quite a good plan what we have everything inside.
Yeah.
A lot of things are in my head.
Yeah. That doesn't count, does it?
But that doesn't count. And okay. At the end, we were just, the insurance wasn't paid high enough. Yeah. And I was testing too much material and having fun on it. And I love testing material. I can't sell anything if I don't test it.
Yeah.
I'm a really bad seller. So I have to be on it and really into it. And so I'm testing quite a lot of stuff. And it was all lying around.
Oh, shit.
And we were under insurance, if you can say this.
Underinsured, yeah.
Insurance around 250,000.
Wow. That's a step back.
And this was, in the beginning, it was like, okay, burn down. We have an insurance. Looking forward. And then you start calculating what everything was in the center. And then you sit together with your insurance and you see, no, I don't know how you go for it. And but you have so many people around who support you.
Yeah.
As well, the insurance had said, hey, this is shit happens.
Yeah.
They could even say, we don't pay anything because you did it in advice. You did it. You didn't pay the insurance. Like, because you wanted to save money.
Yeah. They say it was a fraud.
Yes.
Basically. Wow.
They could do this.
Wow.
But he was here on this table and said, hey, this is bullshit. This is shit what happened now.
Yeah.
we're going to help you as much as possible. They even paid a couple of months of salary, even I don't pay my salary. They said, hey, you're going with so much energy, we're going to help you as much as possible we can. I just take every door I can open for you.
Oh, nice.
And this helped us.
That's good, huh?
This helped us.
Yeah.
And at the end, it was 250,000. We were not covered.
Yeah.
Insurance helped us as well. The whole...
Did the city help as well?
Hmm?
Did the city help as well?
The city helped as well. They spent it.
Yeah.
Some amount of money. Then we had around 50,000 spent money of francs spent by private people everywhere around the world, which was incredible. And there was
nice.
Someone started straight away the first day.
Yeah.
Like, hey, people help out, spend it with a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
And for us, like, whoa. And when we seen...
You didn't even know.
No, we didn't even know.
That's so cool. That's so nice.
But I think it was already the second or the third day he tried to call me, and because we took no funds of no one, only police, insurance, and family. Yeah. And so he texted us, or it was coming from the family side. He said, hey, you have to help me. I started this GoFundMe, but there are so many people asking questions and everything. I can't handle this.
Yeah.
And we are already around 20,000.
Wow.
And what can I do? What can I help? Yeah. And he was like, oh, shit. And this helped us as well as the support. Yes, go for it.
All right. Yeah. Nice. Okay. So you know that you're supported by more than just you and yourself and maybe your pupils that you have, but from a broader like range of people. Mm. Okay. So you were back.
As well, the industry helped me as well. So we could get down, the industry took down, normally you pay, you get the price, the customer pays.
Yeah.
We pay the price left for the shop or for selling stuff. And we even got...
like a discount in...
The discount on this. And I know some of the discounts where we are paying on some products, I know we paid the productional price.
Oh, wow.
So there was the companies were taking out no money at all, just to helping as well.
That is cool. Mm. That is cool. But it's also an investment for them because
we're running the business still. We're still here.
So. Right. Exactly. And you buy stuff from them now, probably back at a more regular price, or maybe something that makes sense for them as well. All right. Wow. That must have been something. But now then you built your center a little differently, I suppose. Now you're well insured.
I know every screw in my center.
Good, super important.
Super boring, yes.
But also super important. And now we talked about what you do. And I was just, what's next? Like, where is that center going? What are your plans ahead? Because, yes, you said salary is expensive. What else can there be? Are you like... Maybe doing trips that people can join to go supping or foiling or what's that?
There are plenty of ideas in my head.
Anything you want to share?
But at the moment we stopped pushing in to go bigger.
Yeah.
And focused more into to have more in the like the apprenticeships.
Yeah.
To have more knowledge wider.
Yeah.
So if there is someone passing out, someone changing their mind, going somewhere else, to have more knowledge going through the whole team.
Okay.
And this is actually the goal for the next season.
Okay. Oh, wow, that makes so much sense. So well thought through. That's super cool. Because can you do what other things can you do?
And you're like, I have tons of ideas. But at the end, if I'm looking, we're just running like a hamster all the time.
Yeah.
And why?
That's not sustainable.
We're losing on some point. You're losing the fun.
Yeah.
And this is now with the new center, people are realizing it more because it looks nicer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm missing the old, but I'm really happy to the new one. People are coming here. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is insane. It looks big. It is big. We have so much stuff there. But now we want to have the team. And this is especially what I spent now this 2 year with the new center to bring the knowledge into it. We had a big step doing with the foiling now. That was huge the last 2 years. I said, okay, now we are on a level we can't go more. But now we have to, like we did in the beginning, we have the weekend running full.
Yeah.
What can we do during the week? So now we know we're running full time all the time. So what can we do that the apprenticeships, not the people working, not are running out of energy in August?
Okay.
So how can we settle down everything a little bit?
All right.
That everyone has more fun.
Okay.
This is focus.
Makes a lot of sense. I just look a little short term. What's next? And when this episode comes out, it just happened, is the Santa paddle, right? On the 6th of December. I've seen some pictures. I've never been. Can you tell maybe the audience what it is?
We do this since even before the center. We went paddling Christmas time. We went paddling New Year. Some crazy stuff. We had races in during the winter, which was really cool. The center was 2 years ago, I guess. 2 or 3 years ago, the idea was coming. We know the guy who plays the center. He's a boat driver with us. They don't tell any names for the kids.
Of course. It's Santa himself.
No, but he was coming with the idea. And I said, hey, that would be cool to come on the water. No one do it. So they said, okay, let's do it. And then the city here where I live, they were so happy with. And they requested, hey, can you do it again? That was so why not?
That's super cool. So Santa paddling over on his sub, handing out little goodies.
Basically, during the day, we open up for everyone.
Yeah.
So everyone is free to come. We don't charge anything. They just have to bring, the deal is they have to bring some packages with something to eat,
yep,
like a small Santa package. They have to bring 4 Santa packages, which are value around 5 francs per package. So we paddle with the whole group through the city and just give it to the kids.
Very nice.
And people are running around. This is the deal for the afternoon during day. And then in the evening, we are a small team of 4 paddlers bringing the Santa on a XXL when it's night onto the dock. So he's there for an hour, giving as the real Santa,
yeah,
giving the kids the happiness. And then we paddle back again.
Very nice. And then
you maybe, yeah, saw the picture of the first year. That was just insane.
Was that with the snow?
Super snowfall.
Wow, that's beautiful. Is that still the picture that you use in this?
Yes. Oh. It looks warm, no rain, but no snow.
All right.
But it will look cool with the tree in the back and with the lights.
Can imagine. It already happens when this episode comes out. But what will not have happened is the lakeside opening. Maybe you can, if you remember, if not, we're going to put it in the show notes, the date and what will happen there.
Well, lakeside, it's the only thing which we took over from this whole racing part. We did all the races around Switzerland. We passed away and said, hey, we're focusing here fully, yeah, on Thun. And Lakeside is an event we took over, and the focus is because we can do it like a marketing here.
Yeah.
For us, it's a win-win situation. It's a lot of effort, but it's cool marketing for the shop because it's in front of our shop, and it's at the 2nd and 3rd of May.
Yeah,
it's always the first weekend in May for the next couple of years. It's the opening of the swimming area, and it was a super success. We took a new name away from racing. Lakeside opening, yeah, is open to everything. And it means we want to have all the summer sports. They should be able to present in the beginning of the summer what they do. So all the clubs around swimming, kayaking, whatever, they're coming, slacklining, they're coming and they have a platform to be able to present what they do for summer, yeah, and get kids to do their stuff. So it's like a platform to get kids on place, testing new stuff. Yeah. And if they're happy with the summer sport, hey, cool, go for the whole season.
Yeah, all right.
And but still the racing part is in it. And what I know that for the foiling part, I told Swiss Foiling, we have no wind on the lake, not much. And it was super windy.
It was super windy last time, yeah.
And he said, hey, why we didn't do any wing foiling action, yeah, anything else. And so for wing foiling, it's planned that we not only have the platform for pump foiling, yeah, so we do run the whole Swiss foiling part.
Oh, nice.
Whatever it is,
Okay. So bring not only your pump foil, but also your winging stuff.
Pump, wing, paro. I don't know whatever he wants to do.
All right.
So we are the platform and he's able to do everything.
Good. That is great. So if one of the listeners or the viewers just learned about it, like the first weekend in May, make sure to follow Hannu at Hannu Thunersee. I'm going to put the link in the show notes as well and not miss that, because it's a super event. Last time, the weather was not nice, but it was windy. And it was wavy as well. We had some wave action on that dock outside, and the dock was really good dock. So that was really an amazing place. And I'm looking forward to coming again. Well, Danny, I think we're going to wrap it up here because we're way over an hour. We didn't even we didn't even talk about like the different player and politics and how difficult it is to be like a commercial center within so many interests at the lake. We can talk about that later or in another episode, maybe, who knows? But thank you very much for taking your time. Is there something that you just want to tell like all the listeners and viewers about just like water sports, or if they want to go for like starting a shop themselves?
Just have fun. If you believe in something, go for it and have fun on the water.
All right.
That's it.
Good. Well, thank you very much again. And see you guys in the next one.